Welcome to episode 4. My guest today is David Bramfoot. He has been a runner I've known for a long time and has got a wide and varied running career. Works for the Army. He's an Army sergeant. I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong there. And he has worked around the world. So has got many different experiences of training around the world and the UK. He has a wide range of running performances. His PBs, I'm going to rattle through them, and I'm sure he will correct me if I've missed any. They are, so he's not running 800 metres that I can see, but 4:06 for the 1500, 8:38 for the 3000 metres, 14:52 for 5000 metres, 7:17 for 2000 metre steeplechase, 10:14 for 3000 metre steeplechase.
Well, it was a 10 one as well, but it's not recorded. It was an Army event.
Okay, so a 10K on the track.
But it's dead. 3K steeplechase, yeah.
Okay, what was the... Was that faster than the 10:14?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
What was the time?
10 minutes dead.
Oh, 10 minutes... Ah, that has to be the most annoying PB. we'll come on to that. 5 miles, 25:50. I think I might have been in that race with you. 32:37
for 10K. No, one missing. That's 32:05. It was an inter-counties match up in the Cotswolds somewhere when I first started out running for Middlesex. I've got it in a AW somewhere.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So that maybe you, I would suggest writing to Power 10 and getting some of these updated. They're quite good if they're in reputable events. 71 for the half, 71:25 for the half marathon. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And 2:50 for the marathon. I think that looks like your one double with the marathon, and then maybe you thought better of it.
Well, but in fairness, what I like, I don't give my time for the marathon normally. I just tell people that I was in a massive, it was the Athens Classic Marathon, and it's about 40,000 people, a similar sort of size to London, and I finished 37th. I leave the time right out of it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure, what time of year was that?
It was September time before I left Cyprus. My last weekend running for that club.
Wow.
And it paid for it all. But yeah, it's not an easy marathon. You run from marathon, from battlefield, into Athens.
Wow. Over a hill. What was the temperature?
Somewhere low 30s.
Wow. Okay. I think, anyone who's run a marathon, they're hard enough. Running a marathon in low 30 degrees, that's impressive. I know that's a quite historic course, that as well. So, if you're going to do one, that's probably the one you'd pick. And, maybe if it was a bit cooler, but I guess, Cyprus is pretty warm. Right, so of those performances, and that's quite a big range of performances, what would you say was the one that you're most proud of?
The 5K. That's really is my race distance. So first time I broke 15 minutes was huge. And then, 14:52. I can still remember most of the races. If it was yesterday, it was like 2004, I think.
Wow, okay. That's interesting you say you can remember the race. When I've talked to runners before in their best runs, and they can remember finishing or remember parts of the race, but often it's almost like a bit of a blur. So was that a league match in the British Athletics League? Yeah. Do you want to tell us more about that? How it went?
The race started off quite well. I was the B-string runner. I can't remember who the A-string runner was that day. I don't think it was Ads. But anyway, so yeah, the first K went around in pretty much bang on 3 minutes. Second K was about a second quicker. And then whoever was running our A-string, they had a wobble at about the halfway marker. And the group I was in with them broke in half. And I had to make that decision to push past, the person who was expected to beat me, and to go with the small two or three lads up front. So I made that decision and I went past, and from then on, I was just hanging on to
them. Yeah.
The last about 400 meters, this is one of the reasons why I remember it so well. We came through 800 to go, is all right. Came with the last 400. I just started wearing it, the heart rate. And as you went through the bell, the alarm started going off on my polar watch saying, warning, heart rate high. Warning. Oh, wow. Going, shut up. Don't tell them.
Well, so. And having a look at that, so the A string was Ian Harkness.
Yes.
And, yeah, so you overtook him. And the ads you were referring to, just to let people know, that's Adam Bowden, who was an international steeplechaser and athlete, but he moved to the triathlon and Ironman. He's actually doing half Ironmans now. I think he's the UK's Ironman champion at the moment, or record holder. Right, so, and in terms of how you, if we go back a bit now, how did you get into running? And this might be a hard question to answer, because dependent on where you class your starting point of running or athletics.
I mean, we'll go back into later on as well, but no, I didn't really run as a child. I ran at school. I didn't quite make county team. I didn't run at a running club or anything. I did a lot of multi-sport events as a youngster.
Okay.
Then I joined the army. And I was a good runner, you know. I had no issues, but I never really took it seriously. I went and did like Fleet half marathon in about an hour and a half, I think. And then I thought, you know what, I quite like running, because an hour and a half in a half marathon, that's where most of the really pretty girls are. I thought, I like running, this is good, you know. Got a date out of the race, so I thought I'd try a bit harder. And then shortly after that, actually, I met my wife, and we ended up getting married, and we moved to Stanmore. And she was walking to school with a good friend of hers, and her husband was an RAF sprinter, and he ran for Shaftesbury Harriers, and he trained down at Bannisters.
Right.
So my wife said, oh, my Dave can run. And she was like, oh, Andy says, come down the track then if you can run. So my wife pushed me into coming down the track for the first time. And it's about 3 weeks before my daughter was born. I came down there one day and went out for a run with Mo and I can't think who else, you know, Matt Nichols is probably there and a few others. And I had no idea where I was. We ran from the club, road run for 5 miles. I was hanging on the back of them. I couldn't get dropped. I was lost. I had no idea where I was.
Yes, yeah. no GPS then, no phones or anywhere to,
And not being a local, I didn't know the area. So yeah, I ran to the end and I was absolutely lost. But hang on the back of them, got back to the clubhouse, and Mo and Matt and the others were so friendly and so nice. And we had such a laugh about the whole thing. Once I told them, they're like, oh, wow, you did really well. And I explained to them that I had to, or I was lost for hours. Just made instant friends with them. And then about a couple of weeks, I didn't come down because my daughter was born. And then, I started the club. And as you can imagine, every time I put my spikes on, once I bought some, it was a PB after PB. It was just one of those things I wish I started when I was much younger. I think I was about 25 at the time.
Ah, right. I didn't realize you'd started. I thought you started earlier than that. I'd probably been injured at that time. So, oh wow, okay. So that was your start.
As a little kid, I ran, but it wasn't my sport. I was a swimmer.
Right. Okay.
So
we'll come back to your swimming and that's played a part in your career later on. How did you find the first couple of years when you'd started as an adult? How did you find the training, coping with the? So I guess you did cross country, didn't you? And you did road racing as well, and sort of navigating all these different events and fitting it in with training and also just learning to race.
Being in the army and everything else, because I was always fit, you know, you got PT 2-3 times a week. So I always had that side of it. And, you know, from family and upbringing, I had a lot of dedication to what I do. I take things quite seriously. So okay. Once I started, I had no real problems with the dedication of getting to training on a, you know, twice a week or three times a week basis. But yeah, I mean, racecraft and everything, I had no idea what I was doing. I think back to raced at Woodford Green, and it might have been a British, it might have been a Southern League. But yeah, I went off with the leaders like an absolute muppet, you know, end up almost crawling around the last lap to get in. And I remember what I considered an old man at the time, who's actually younger than I am now, beating me. I was devastated. This 40-year-old had beaten me.
Yes, young man, that's right.
Yeah. And,
yes, absolutely. So, and so in terms of your, because you probably would say that you reached your peak, and then you started to, did you branch out into triathlon? Is that right? Or
yeah. I've always swum in bits and pieces, and triathlon sort of really took off in the early to mid 90s. I'd done it one or two before I even started running properly. And then, yeah, when running came on, I used to use them as a pre-season event. So I'd start them when most people are road running. So I hate road running, but when most people are road racing in between cross country and track, I'd go and do two or three triathlons sort of through March, April, and perhaps even the start of May. And what I loved about them was nobody knew who I was.
Yes.
So if I was a running race, people knew who I was. There's always instant pressure. Just turning up at a local race would be pressure. Someone would recognize you. In an army, you know, I was in the top five, I was in the army team. I went to any army race, people knew who I was. So triathlon, nobody knew who I was. There's no pressure. And I could really just enjoy the race for what it was and not have to worry about finish position splits or anything else.
Just had fun.
And
is there a story you've got behind one of your triathlons you did that you may have misjudged the distance?
I was living in North Devon at the time, and if anybody knows North Devon, it's not flat. And there was a race that I entered. I can't even think why I entered it. I think it must have been boasting to friends or something. But I entered this race, and it was the X-Man, it was called. So, I don't know, sounds all right. I can't remember the name of the place where it starts from, but it's got the Cliff Railway. It's that steep from the beach up.
Wow.
So we did the swim, and I can't think how far the swim was, but you know, I came out of the water first. I was quite happy with my swim. It was absolutely beautiful, flat, not a wave in sight in the sea. It was a beautiful swim. I came out to the swim, got onto the bike, and went up this huge, great big climb to get started. And the first 20K is up and down as you go along the edge of the coast, and it comes, you know, as the inlets come through in bits and pieces. I finally got up on top of the moors. And we're going along, and this guy finally overtakes me. I'm always waiting for people to overtake me on the bike, because I'm not a good cyclist. This guy comes
past. Just get it done,
I just suffer through it. And this guy came through it, and I was like, next turn's got to be the turn to the finish line. The next turn's got to be the turn to the finish line. And as he comes up and comes past me, I looked over to him and said, do you know how far it is to the finish? And he looked at me like I was absolutely mental. Then he looked down at my bike and saw I had one small 500-milliliter water bottle on my bike, gave me another really strange look and told me it was another about 40K to the finish line. And we'd already had about 40K. So I was about the halfway mark on the bike. And I was just, it slightly dawned on me at that moment that I wasn't in a sprint triathlon. I was in that. And all I had was one small bottle of water to get through it.
Wow. And the distance on the bike in a sprint triathlon is that 10K? Is that right? No, or is it 20?
It's 10 miles, I think, about 16K.
10 miles, yeah. And so you had to do, was it 40K then? Oh, no, 20?
No, it's your 80K, I think, on the bike.
80K, wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, my word.
It was just a half marathon run, but it was thankfully for me, it was a shorter run because it was quite hilly up. You fell straight down the other side. But yeah, I came off the bike. And I went over to where the finish line was, and they have all the sort of food and sweets out for the main finish, or we finish it. I just took a handful of jelly babies and a flapjack and just started eating in my transit.
Wow. Did you find that you did you have a crash at any point, energy crash, or did you bonk?
I didn't.
Bonk. Okay. Yeah. Wow, that is.
But that's, on the bonk, I changed my speed and my output dropped quite significantly once I realised how much further.
You pace yourself well. So take us back to when you were. I think I've got this right. When you were living in Stanmore, that you had an interesting commute your pre-training warm-up was quite interesting. Is that correct?
That wasn't Stanmore.
It was
Southampton. I was training in Southampton.
Ah, okay, right. Sorry. Okay, so when you're in Southampton.
Yeah, I changed clubs for a short while before I realised the error of my ways. And I was living right down in Cowshot, which is opposite the Isle of Wight. And I had about a 10-mile cycle into where I was working at 17 Porto Maritime. And then the running track was another about 10 miles further on in the middle of Southampton. So I'd cycle to work in the morning and I'd have a snack at sort of 5 o'clock, work a little bit late, so there's no point going home, and then cycle onto the track, get to the track, do the full session with Southampton. There were some very good runners down there at the time. I was the back of the A group, arguably the fittest I'd ever been. And then once I finished the session, and sometimes even did the cool down with them, I then had about an 18-mile cycle home. And it was just, most draining thing. I was left home at 6 o'clock in the morning. I got home about 9, 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday.
So that's 10 miles to work, and then how many miles from there to the training group?
The training group, but about 18 miles home, because obviously I didn't have to go via work. I was taking a more direct route.
Wow. And then the session would be probably, I'm guessing, 8 to 10 k's worth of effort.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, it'd be very similar to what we were doing as a middle distance group in Southampton.
Wow. That's that would have given you a great, very tired, but I'm sure the training benefits would have been great. But God, yeah, wow.
I've been doing it again since then, but yeah, the idea of doing it when you didn't have to is just ridiculous. I learned to drive.
Yeah. And so, in terms of with your having worked in the army and the, I've never been in the army, but I know that the army instills discipline and the training that you do. Do you think that the training that you've done as an army sergeant has that helped your running? Do you think at points when you found it hard in running that you, or is it different? I think sometimes when you go through the training that you do as an army, in the army, is it similar to running, or do you think that there are some similarities, or do you kind of, it's the last thing on your mind when you're just hurting in a race?
No, there's some similarities, and when they are similar, it's that exact man you just said there. When you are hurting in the race, some people you'll meet and they'll train better than the race. I'm not one of those people. I'm not very good at time trials. I'm not very good at doing it just for me. If I'm in a club vest, if I'm in a competition, I can find speed and pace that from my training and everything else you wouldn't think I'd be able to do. And I think that comes down to being able to really dig in when the time's on, when the pressure matters. You know your legs aren't actually going to fall off. You know your heart isn't actually going to give out on you. Your lungs will work. When you run a PB and it's significantly faster than what you've done before, even though the time before that you thought you'd given it your all, I think that's where there's that real sort of knowledge and the training you do in the army really makes that an easier transition, an easier place to get to.
Mm. Because you're digging deep, aren't you? You're going. It's like learning to cope with discomfort, learning to cope with pain. Some people say pain, but there's a reward if you can get to those places.
If you watch those TV pros like SAS, who training and everything else, you see what they actually put them through. And once you've been through that sort of level of it, and of course they can't make you do it when you're in training, but
yeah,
it feels like it. You know, and you've gone out in absolutely terrible conditions, in ill-fitting or not adequate clothing, and just put up with it and got on with it and got through, knowing at the other side of it there will be a hot cup of tea and a change of clothes and everything else. You know, your mind can control the body to a way, or make it do that little bit more. You know, when you come into that sprint finish, who's going to win that sprint finish? Yeah, that's when you really dig deep, and one person almost gives up, don't they?
Yeah. Well, it's often who can suffer the most and who's just wants it more. So it's interesting you said about when you are competing in a team event, and I guess with the thing with the army, that it does instill that. If I correct me if I'm wrong, it, of course you need to do things for yourself, but you are part of a unit. You're part of a team. If you don't pull your weight, then you're letting someone else down, and it's often the weakest link that will cause an issue when you need to go to war or put in areas where there's going to be some discomfort and it's the same with running, I guess, in a team. That you, it's the same thing. If someone doesn't pull their weight or doesn't perform to their best ability, then you're going to let other people down. That doesn't get mentioned a lot in running, as it is an individual sport. Would you say that's fair then? That you find it easier, or you feel that you're have more responsibility to perform better when you're part of a team?
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about my PB at the start of it. You know, it was when the A-string runner napped. I think I would have carried on and run a 15.02, a 15.05 and won the B-string that day. It was only when Ian, as you said, you know, when he dropped, I then had to make that decision for the team to pass him and to run as an A-string. And therefore, the people who were in front of him were in my race. And I was B-string, they weren't in my race.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so you were just working for points and to help to do the best for the club.
Yeah, it's an individual sport in a team environment, which is it's where I'm happiest. Team sports are great until the team loses, and it can turn into a witch hunt and everything else. You're an individual, but you're running as part of a team. And for me, that's my sort of ideal position to be in.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting that, because I've found that as well sometimes when you have cross country and you're performing in a team and you're actually around people, it's really enjoyable. And you come to the summer sometimes and I'm maybe going to these races on my own, and it does feel a bit lonely sometimes. You're not really part of that environment, and it's not sometimes not as enjoyable. And you think about it more, and yeah. It's a fair point. I think as we both know, that running has been a big boom in the last, well, there was a boom in the 80s, there's been another boom in the last 10 years or so with Park Run, and the which has got a lot of people into the sport that wouldn't have had that opportunity and environment. And then you've also got the number of race organisers organising fun runs or different events around the country. So there are people running. And I don't know what you think about this. Would you say anything to some of these runners that aren't at clubs? What are the benefits of going to your local club for you?
For me, it was that massive change in the step. It was suddenly having that internal competition with people. Whereas training before that, I got like probably people do now. They get them online now, you know, 5K training program or a podcast with one on there. Back when I was doing it, it was out of Runner's World magazine. You know, you'd open up your 5K pages for that week, and that's what I followed. And I got to a point where I'd take about 2 minutes off my hour and a half marathon time, and the military test of a mile and a half run, I was running that in somewhere around about the 8 minute mark after doing 6 to 8 months of that training.
Yeah.
One year at a training club with people. You know, because other people are going to be there. You're there at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, at 7 o'clock on a Thursday. You don't miss them unless you really have to. And because it's organised and it's not just from a magazine, it's got a consistent feel to it throughout, you know, a much longer period of time. and you've got the competition within the training session of those reps. So when I'm tired, when I don't want to do any more, and the coach tells me, you know, we've got two more to go, and you, Mo, whoever else is around, Pete, everybody else is there, then you get on, you get it done. If I was doing that by myself, and I've tried before, then I will just stop at 8 out of 10 reps. I'm terrible training by myself for that sort of thing. Training at a club, it's that feel to it. And the difference it makes to my running was just phenomenal. You know, I said an hour and a half, I went down to an hour 12, whatever it was, half marathon time.
Half marathon,
I think a minute off my mile and a half time. And I went from, I was 33rd in the Army Championships the year before I joined Harrow. And the following year, I was fifth, and I made the Army team. And that was my biggest goal at that time, was to make the Army team, get the Army vest.
What a jump. What a jump, yeah. And, yeah, I think you hit it on the head. There's just runners out there who are running have got into the sport that you can get great improvements by working in a group. You've also got the expertise and experience of coaches and other athletes there that have been through it and done it. So that there's a whole... a fountain of knowledge there from a number of people.
Yeah, I think even the warm-ups, you know, if you watch a YouTube clip and you do a warm-up, you can't see yourself as you're doing it. You think you're doing it.
Like, yeah.
You think inside, all the stretches or whatever part it is of it, or the cool-down side of it. But you know, you're prone to injury and everything else. You don't get those things right. And having other people you can watch, people you can chat to about, I remember asking somebody on week two, what is a stride?
Yes.
You know, you can read it online, everything else, but actually doing it with people and experienced runners helping you out with it, and people correcting you when you're slightly wrong, or it does make a difference.
Yeah, and understanding the purpose of it, but being there and doing it yourself. Yeah. Okay, so in terms of your future goals, Dave, what are you planning? I know you had a milestone birthday recently, and you got close to some goals. But I think you've done well to get back to some really, really good shape, good fitness. What are your goals going forward for this winter, next summer?
Yeah, as you're alluding to there, that is my goal at the moment, is to get Mr. Curzon's V45 Club 3K record.
Okay.
And you know what? If I keep improving, like I have done this last year, as you know, and other people probably know as well, I was off running for about two and a half years as I turned 40.
Yeah.
So this year, as I turned 45, I'm actually running the fastest I've run since I was 39. So this season, I set my V40 PBs as I left the V40 period behind me. I ran faster than Curzon's record this year with a month before my birthday. Didn't get it on my birthday, wasn't the right race, wasn't the right day. And then my work and the Afghanistan side of it stopped my season a little bit earlier than I'd hoped.
Yeah. So it's a shame. So the Curzons you were referring to, there's Mark Curzons, who's he's still running really well, so a bit of V55 athlete, and he has the club record, which I believe is
930.6 or 0.3.
I was gonna say that, yeah. And you, as you said, you beat it just before you turned 45, and then were just unable to get it once you turned 45. Yeah, we're just a little bit off it. So that's going to be your goal. Have you got a picture of him that you've got on the somewhere every time you wake up and
Mark
with the time? Yeah. I think it's Mark. He's quite a likable guy, so he's not someone that you'd. Yeah, I don't think having his pitch is going to... I think you just to put the V45 record down, I think, yeah.
No, I was actually chatting to him, as he appreciates a lot of races still. Yeah. So, I was chatting to him before we started the race, where I went faster than his time, but I just wasn't quite old enough. he'd forgotten he even had the record.
Okay, yeah, I bet he did. Yeah, I bet he did. That's what they all say. Yeah, super. How long do you think you'll continue running for, Dave?
That's a question I keep asking myself. I thought I'd given up on the last injury. I plantar fasciitis. It went on forever. and really hard to find the enthusiasm. When I started back, you know, I can't think of where it was. We ran it. It was the Tilton League race in Oxford up that lovely hill.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly not towing the line, but being in the second or third rank at the start of the race was odd. Having to jog off the start line was odd. And then coming wherever I came, like 100th or something, but being as knackered as I was when I used to finish in the top 10, 5 or whatever of those races, it was hard. It was really difficult. So I'm enjoying running now. How much longer will I go? Another 3-4 years, maybe. Maybe okay. I can get to 50. Yeah. I don't.
We'll see. No, you've done really well to get back to where you are, and I've been following your running for a long time. And maybe I don't. Do you think that the time that you had off just allowed your body to rest and just to take your mind off running? And I guess maybe did you come back with kind of just there wasn't any real pressure? It was just see what you can do, and then.
Yeah, it was. I spent most of that time injured.
Right.
I love competing. If I can't run, I'll swim. If I can't swim, I'll cycle. I go and do a time trial on the bike for my competitive edge. I'll race in a swimming race for my competitive. I need to race somebody.
Yeah.
So there was always that desire to get back onto a start line in a Harrow vest. But most of that time injured, it was just, I'd be happy if I can run. If I can run, you know, and get round a race, that would make me really happy. And I've never minded racing when I'm not at my best. You know, I'll turn out for a league event as a little last year, you know, coming 120th or whatever else.
Yeah.
I just love racing. I absolutely love racing. I love putting myself through that pressure. Staying on the start line is always a daunting thing. And it's always quite daunting as you're coming up to it. And then once it's done, it makes you feel fantastic. And
having race,
and seeing the guys again, seeing you lot again, it was always, you know, one of those things that got me back there. So how much longer will I do? I don't know, mate.
Okay. And lastly, what do you have a number of people that have inspired you to run, or whilst you've been running, or it got you into the sport?
I've always been in awe of people who can do it better than me. It surprises me when people are in awe of me. It's just always an odd thing because they look at everybody else. But for me, it was Adam Bowden, Ads. Training with him at the start, I didn't realise how good he was. He was coming back from an injury when I first started. And I don't think we got until like the South of England Championship when he beat me, quite convincingly as well. And his mum was there, and I came out of the finish. I thought, wow, I don't know where that's all coming from. And his mum was like, oh, yeah, he's been coming back from injury for quite a while. You go, oh. running with him on the Sunday runs, what a nice bloke and what a talent. Watching his career around you, being able to train with him at the same time.
He was a meticulous, pretty much professional. But he did, he had a great mental strength as well. He did a lot of the small things really well.
The great thing about running as well is, you know, I've towed a line with Mo.
You
stand on the start line with at the national or even the South of England Championships and bits and pieces. So, yeah, I mean, the people who I've really admired. As be one of them, a bloke called Rod Finch. I don't know if you know him. He was in my branch of the army. He holds the army record. He holds the inter-services record. He's got a 13-something 5K time.
Wow.
Third at the European indoors 3K. I can't tell you his time. His daughter's now running in America. But yeah, it's people I know who I've run with, who I witnessed doing it, who are my real...
inspirations, yeah. They've influenced you rather than just not from a distance, but from in person.
Rather than the Olympians when I was a lad, and they came around the school, we met them. I can't remember who. Roger Black and Chris Hakabushi came to my school with their medals and bits and pieces.
What a combo!
Another guy in the 18, no one can remember his name. But anyway,
yeah. Oh, super. Right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for coming on. It's been great to hear your story and your background and your inspirations. But I hope you've enjoyed it. And speak to you soon.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dave. Cheers, buddy.
Next episode of the Run With School podcast, we welcome Nick Andrews, another athlete who took up athletics quite late in his 40s after taking his daughter's training. He has had much success in a short period and quite possibly has one of the most unusual and unexpected hobbies. Don't forget to hit follow and see you next week. Bye.